That as we were asking even 6 months ago, God, where are we? What are the things we need to grow in? We did a kind of survey of the church, and one of the very clear things that the church identified, which we as leaders have also been identifying, is we need to keep growing in prayer. And so we've been asking that question, how do we grow in prayer? In fact, how do we grow just in being the people God's called us to be, a people who are following Jesus, who are reaching out, who are an extended family, who are doing everything in love? How do we do this? How do we be the people God's called us to be? And you don't have to, just read in one place of Scripture to find that. You find scattered throughout Scripture that God is going to help us be the people he wants us to be. He is going to help us. He loves us that much. Isn't that wonderful? So he says in Zechariah 4 verse 6 to Zerubbabel, he says this, we got it up here on the screen, and it's an amazing promise where he says, not by might nor by power, but some of you will know this verse, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. He's going to help us by his amazing spirit. And then it's this wonderful promise in John 14 that Jesus, when he was walking on the earth, said to his disciples just before he went to the cross and was going to ascend to heaven. And this is the promise he gives us. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. The Holy Spirit, the one who comes and dwells within us, and he's going to be speaking to us along the journey. That's what we're thinking about as we think about today. What about this amazing promise in the book of Acts when Jesus is now just about to ascend? He's risen from the dead, and he says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Holy Spirit comes and helps us be the witnesses that God would have us be. And then this amazing promise, even specifically about prayer, Romans chapter 8, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. How are we to grow in prayer? Well, we've been seeing through these past weeks that, and even over the last couple of months, that it's as we grow in our awareness that God is there and our faith in him, that he's good, that he's great, as we grow in our awareness of our helplessness, of our weakness, and maybe you like me are so often aware of your helpfulness. Hey, that's a good qualification for praying. But here's the wonderful thing, that we're going to grow in prayer as we realize that God, who is great, sees our helplessness and gives us his Spirit to help us. So folks, if we want to grow in prayer, we need to grow in an awareness of his Spirit. This is our key text for this morning in Ephesians 6 verse 18. And it says this, it says, pray in the Spirit, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. If you've got your Bibles open in front of you and you want to see the context of that, it's this. It says, talking about spiritual battle that we're in. We were thinking about that last week, about the fact that we've got an enemy and there's a battle we're engaged in. Paul says, here's some different things that can help you in that battle, like spiritual armor. In fact, he just has been speaking about the sword of the Spirit in the verse beforehand, which is the Word of God, a reminder that the Word and the Spirit always must be held together. And in that same context, he says, and now pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So folks, if we're to grow in prayer, we need to grow in praying in the Spirit. So how are we doing in that? How are we doing it? That's what I want us to think about this morning. So let me pray, ask God that he'd reveal a bit more about that to us this morning. Father, as we dig into your word, I ask that you would help us grow in praying in the Spirit. Lord, I help you would help us show us what that means, that we might be able by your help to grow in prayer. For I ask in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. If we were to really grow in praying in the Spirit, I think probably all of us have got to say right from the out, well, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit. That's where we've got to start this morning, and we're going to be looking as we go through this this talk this morning about what does it mean to pray in the Spirit, with the aim that we'll be able to, even at the end of the service today, reflect and each evaluate, even in our own hearts, and later for the leaders as they stay around today, to think about in their own communities, how are we doing at praying in the Spirit? So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit, to know the Lord's help in our praying? And as we do that, we're going to be thinking about, well, what are the blockages to praying in the Spirit? What are the things that keep us from doing that? And I found Anne's picture so helpful in this, because I think one of the main blockages is the blockage that Anne was kind of describing in that picture of us as a sort of church being behind this waterfall that looks amazing, but we're on the kind of, on the side where we're in a kind of underhang behind it in the rock, and we kind of feel that it's solid ground beneath us, so that's good. We're near the waterfall, so that's good, but it doesn't feel like where we're meant to be. But the challenging thing is that to be where it feels like we should be, where we're feeling more of the wonderful sort of force of the waterfall, we've got to step off. And what's holding us back? What are the blockages to doing that? What is the obvious blockage in that picture for us stepping forward? Fear. Fear. And time again in the Scriptures, as it contrasts what it is to walk in the Spirit or to not walk in the Spirit, this word fear comes up. So as we think about praying in the Spirit and what it means, I want to say this right from the off. To pray in the Spirit is to pray with security, not fear. Security, not fear. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15. We have it here on the screen. There's a few things I'm going to refer to. So as we look at Romans 8, 15 together, I want us to see this wonderful picture of how the Spirit helps us overcome fear. This is the verse. For you did not receive, Paul writes to the church in Romans, a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit comes into our life as we trust in the Lord Jesus, in all he's done for us on the cross. When we believe his words, when he says, come to me, and you'll become a child of God as you put your trust in me. And then, in Jesus' own words, we are kind of born anew of the Spirit. It's the second birthday that Jean Murray was referring to. We become part of God's family. And the Spirit comes to dwell within us and speaks to our very heart, affirming to us that we are God's children, his sons and daughters. It's a wonderful thing. So that as we then are praying, the wonderful thing that Jesus teaches his followers is that you can pray and call Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father, the great God loves you with an everlasting love that is just indescribable. Now, this has really been ministering to me recently, because my little son Jonah's at that age where he's still young enough, at 1 year old, where he likes to get some hugs. So he will just sometimes want to climb up and give me a hug. And he's not walking yet, but he's crawling around everywhere. I'll crawl up onto the sofa and onto my lap and just want to give me a big hug. And you know what? I want him to know that I love him. I want to keep helping him know, as he explores and spreads his wings, as it were, and goes into the world, I want him to know that he's my son. I love him. And that he can talk to me anytime. And you know, it's the same with God. In fact, just way, way more so. God's love for you and I gives us such a security. And this is this word from John James that we're to realize, this prophecy that, this word that Anne was talking about from 2007, that you and I, we need to realize more of the love of God. And when we do, there will be great security. Immense security in our lives. And I was thinking about this and thinking how much we've still, though I believe we realize that, and we have a church that proclaims the cross of Christ, the place where we can see most clearly the love of God. And yet, though many of us have been familiar with that for years, that we've still got some more of it to discover. And I know that because I look at sometimes how I talk and behave, or how many of us here talk and behave, and I think to myself, we wouldn't do that if we really knew how much God loves us. We wouldn't talk like that. We wouldn't behave like that if we really knew that security of being God's children, those that we can call out to, Abba, Father. And times in my life when I've known a fresh filling of God's Spirit on my life, it's come with a deep awareness of my security in the love of God. I found that God's just revealed again to me how much he loves me. David, he loves me. And with that, fear has gone, because perfect love drives out fear. And maybe this morning, that is just, this is massive. You need to realize that God loves you so much that he gave his son to die on a cross for you. And he wants to give you his Spirit, that you might be born again of the Spirit, that you might know that you can speak to Almighty God as Abba. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It means to pray with a great security and intimacy with God. And I think one of the things that holds us back in our praying is fear. You don't need to be afraid, folks. And this ties into the next thing that the Spirit does and wonderfully brings into our lives, is a freedom. When you feel secure, when you know you're loved, there's freedom. And time again in Scripture, the Bible says that the Spirit enables us to be free. And in fact, that's one of the things that we're really trying to grow in as a church, to be a free people. And this is never a freedom to live for ourselves. There's always a freedom to live for God and live for others. And yet this freedom is so often contrast to the way that many years the people of God would get caught up in trying to be kind of just about the law and legalism, and we need to get right with God by just doing everything that's sort of dots the I and crosses the T. And Jesus comes and he says, no, there's freedom here. The Spirit is a spirit of freedom, not legalism. So when we pray in the Spirit, it means to pray with a freedom, not with a legalism. To be able to have a sense that we're not worried what other people are thinking about our prayers. We're not even worried what God is thinking about our prayers, because we're able to be honest with him. And we're not trying to use prayer as a kind of special thing to earn our favor with God, because he loves us already. I was thinking about what does it mean to have a freedom in the Spirit, or a freedom in prayer. And there's a number of things I thought I would just really underline for us that I've experienced in my own life, but I want us to experience more and more in our life as a church together, and maybe even in your community where you're meeting as well. And this is the freedom, I think, that we can have in the Spirit. And it's this freedom, first of all, to pray on any and every occasion. Look back at Ephesians 6, verse 18. Pray also, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. This is a kind of big picture of prayer, to pray on all occasions. So that sometimes we feel, well, we're able to pray when we're at home in that certain chair, and it's great to have special prayer places. But we don't feel so able to pray at work, or with our family, or maybe in a small group setting, or a community setting, or even at church. We can pray on our own, but not there. And folks, there's freedom in all occasions. Now, sometimes that's going to be praying silently in your heart, but other times it's going to be praying out loud. It's going to be, praying with your family or your friends. And my experience is that the enemy wants me to think that it's less good to pray in a situation than it's more good. If prayer is one of the primary strategies that God has given us for being effective in his kingdom, then the enemy does not want me to pray. So he'll make me think you can only pray here. Whereas God wants, by his Spirit, to set us free to pray on all occasions, anywhere. When I was talking about this with Phil Duke, he reminded me of a great Christian woman of old, John Wesley's mum. John Wesley was an amazing preacher. And John Wesley's mum, she had so many kids running around the house that she said that sometimes she found her most effective praying was on the loo. So, a godly woman. And other times she used to find in the kitchen, she just put a towel over her head, and with all the chaos going around, she would just focus on the Lord and pray. Anywhere, in all occasions, you can pray. Do you know that freedom to pray? Freedom in the Spirit. And do you know too that actually, you're often more free to pray out loud than you think. One of the great joys for me has been praying with my family, my wife, with my children, praying in my workplace when I used to work at an engineering firm, four colleagues at work, out loud, praying in pubs, praying in cafes, praying along the street. You know, you can pray in all kinds of places. There is freedom that the Spirit gives us to pray, and freedom to pray as He prompts us. You know, I find it really helpful to have prayer lists, and I recommend them. I find it helpful to have even sometimes other people's prayers that I can just pray over and use as a prompt. But, you know, there's nothing like that time when the Spirit just lays someone on my heart. I had the other day, and God just put Steve on my heart to pray for. And I just remembered that you were at a conference, and I dug out what you were doing and just prayed for you. And there's nothing like just knowing that the Lord's prompting to pray for someone. God will often just put one of you on my mind, and I'll just think, right, I need to pray for so-and-so. A freedom to be prompted in prayer. Do you know that freedom? That at any time you can come to the Lord. And then a freedom when you don't know what to pray. I've had times when I don't know what to pray for you. I've had times when I don't know what to pray for me. And does that mean we don't pray? Well, sometimes it can do. Sometimes we get thinking, well, I don't know what to pray, so I won't pray. But you know, the freedom that we have in the Spirit is in Romans 8 described like this. In verse 26 of Romans 8, that verse we looked at right at the start, it says, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit does. So when you're going through a crisis or a suffering and you think, I don't know whether to pray, God, for you to take this away, or whether you to give me the perseverance to let my character be formed by this, it doesn't matter. Pray anyway, because you're free to pray for both or for either, and know that the Spirit will take and intercede with groans that we can't even express. It's a wonderful freedom that we have in the Spirit. So one of the things that this means is that it's a great release. When you don't understand what the will of God is, that's okay. You can still pray, because you can pray in the Spirit with great freedom. So God gives us His love, it drives out fear, it gives us security, and it gives us freedom. And all this comes because the Spirit keeps reminding us the immense love of God for you and I. But one of the things that the Spirit also does, and this is because God loves us, is that He gives us gifts through His Spirit. Wonderful gifts. The Spirit Himself is a gift, and one of His biggest gifts is He speaks to us along the way. He counsels us. But He also gives us other gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, there's lists of them. The spiritual gifts, they're called. Gifts that some would say, you know, were just for that time. But as a church, we're very plain that these are gifts that for all time for the believers of the followers of Jesus Christ. There's no sense in the Scripture of any point that these stop. That God has gifted His people with varied gifts. Not all the same ones. But He's given some, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says the gift of evangelism, to others the gift of administration, to others the gift of healing, to others the gift of speaking in tongues, to others the gift of interpreting those tongues, to others the gift of leadership. And all these differing gifts that He gives to His people. And it's quite clear at the end of 1 Corinthians 12 that He doesn't give all of us those all gifts. And yet when you look at 1 Corinthians 14, it's very plain that it says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So much is God's desire to give to us that He wants you and I to seek Him for more of these gifts. To be asking Him. Now I wonder sometimes why we don't eagerly desire spiritual gifts more. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, it says very plainly, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And then it goes on and says, actually, especially the gift of prophecy, this gift of really being able to hear, be attentive to the voice of God for His now word for us and for your situation. I think sometimes it's because we actually haven't realized how much God wants to give us. We kind of doubt His love. Could it be that you're even here and you doubt that God would want to give you a gift? He might give, you know, someone else a gift. Jean Murray, would be great for her, you know. But actually, you know, we kind of think God loves Jean but not me. No, God loves every one of us here. He wants to give you great gifts. He wants to use you for his kingdom purposes. So are we eagerly desiring these spiritual gifts? And here's what I sense, is that sometimes when we pray like secular people would pray. So that when we pray, we don't pray with spiritual gifts in mind. We don't pray with spiritual gifts. We pray with secularism. We pray with this sense that, you know what, prayer is a private thing, and it's more for our benefit. You know, nothing's going to come of it. You know, the secular mindset out there is that prayer's fine. Some people pray because it does them good in their private lives, and, you know, and it's kind of acknowledged as a thing, and even in schools, you know, that you get taught about people pray from different places. But in secularism, there's no concept that actually something would come of those prayers. That there would be, in an ask that is given, there would be a gift that's taken. A gift that's received. And in the same way, in our listening to God, one of the great things that prayer is it's talking and listening to what God has to say to us. But again, in a secular mindset, you would not find no concept. You'd find, you know, people would talk about, well, so-and-so are praying. They are speaking out. But no concept then that anyone out there is speaking. Why is that? Well, because in the secular mind, there is no God who speaks. And yet all through the pages of Scripture, there is a God who speaks, a God who loves to speak into our situation. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It means to pray with spiritual gifts, not with a secularism. It means to pray with a faith that God wants to give you and I good things. And to pray with a heart that is attentive. So often in Scripture, we're told to watch and pray. To be attentive, to be listening and seeing, what is God saying? It's a big theme of today. We've already heard it a number of times. What God are you saying, and what am I doing about it? Watching for where is God working, and how can I join him in that? And maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, what does it mean to hear God's voice? How does that work? Well, God speaks to us in all kinds of ways. Sometimes it's just as we're reading his word. This is a great place to start. And it'll just underline something for you. You'll be struck by something. God, by his Spirit, working with his word to emphasize. Sometimes it's like a whisper in our heart, a prompting to pray for someone or to go and visit someone. Sometimes it's a sense we get. Something that comes very vividly to mind, like a picture that Anne was sharing there, just that we can't shake and comes back time and time again. Sometimes I find that one of the things that God speaks to me most often, which is just he reminds me of his love. I just say, God, what do you want to say to me? And he just wants to say, I love you. I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking, actually, that's one of the most frequent things I say to my kids as well. They just come close, they want to hear something from me, and I just say, I love you, Lila. Love you, Amy. Love you, Jonah. And I often find I'm drawing close to God, listening, wanting him to say something like, these are the next 10 years mapped out for you. And all he just wants to tell me is he loves me. Hey, but he wants to speak. And he wants to speak to us today, I believe, as he comes to his word. One of the things I was doing this week as I was going through the 40 days of prayer, I don't know if some of you are doing that, and thank you so much, Katie, for putting that together. There was a bit in it where it talked about reflecting on just a simple passage of Scripture, John 15, verse 9. Maybe you did this. It was, I think, Tuesday last week. And John 15, verse 9, we got up here on the screen, says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And I've loved this verse. I've spoken on it before. But it just hit me again. In that verse, verse 9, how much does Jesus love me? As the Father has loved Jesus, which is a lot or a little? A lot. An immense amount. The eternal Father loving the eternal Son. That is massive. The love that is between those two. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Me? Like that? No. Jesus can't possibly love me with the same amount of love that God the Father loves God the Son. And yet Jesus is telling me exactly that. That is the waterfall, folks. That is the love of God for you. The eternal, immense love of God. That God loves you and I as much as God the Father loves the Son. Let it give you an immense security, a freedom, a confidence that He wants to give you gifts, that He wants to speak into your life anytime, in all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And so Jesus says, just remain in that love. Today, remain in that love. Tomorrow, remain in that love. And you want to know how to remain in that love? Well, keep His commands. They're not burdensome. You'll remain in His love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. Jesus is able somehow to stay underneath the waterfall. You know, how does He do that? He says, I've told you this so that your joy may be complete, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. There's a sense in Jesus saying it is more fun underneath the waterfall. That's where the joy is. Don't just kind of stand on the rock in the dark, in the damp, with the sprinkles. Get underneath the immense love of God. But here's the next verse. I don't know if you ever noticed the next verse. So Jesus says, this is how you remain in my love, by obeying my commands. What is Jesus' command? It is this. Read it with me. Okay. We're to love one another. How much are we to love one another? How much do I need to love Tim? How much do I need to love Jean? How much should I love Steve? How much should I love Johnny and Mary and Dave and Margie and John and Hosra? How much? Do I need to love them with the kind of love that the world talks about? Which is that I think of you from time to time and, I just don't want anything bad to happen to you, and I like you, you're my friends. Because the world gets that kind of love, and then it gets other more kind of affectionate types of love. But is that the kind of love that this is talking about? How much? Look back there on the screen, John 15, verse 12, the last verse. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Remind me again, how much does Jesus love me? How much? With the same love that God the Father has for God the Son. That is how much Jesus loves me. That's the waterfall. And God wants me then to love you with that love. Not some kind of small love. So I am completely unable to do that in my own strength. I cannot love you like Jesus loves me. Unless I get help. And God is given you and I help to love it in this supernatural, extraordinary way. God has given us His Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if I'm going to really grow in prayer, I need this love. I need to so realize the love of God that I then want to be expressing and caught up in and having God's love for other people, so that you don't need to tell me to pray for my neighbor because I love them. And like I heard a pastor preach, and he was saying, you know, no one needed to tell him when his teenage daughter was going away from God and getting into all kinds of trouble. No one needed to tell him to pray for his teenage daughter. He was crying out to God for her. Why? Because he loved her. And when we're moved with love, we don't need people to tell us to pray, folks. We get praying. We don't need people to say, you know what, you should eagerly desire spiritual gifts, because we want to have a word for our friend. We don't need someone to say, you should really maybe think about praying for healing for some people, because our friend at work has got cancer and we pray, God, give me the spirit of healing and faith for healing, so that a gift of healing, so I can pray in faith for my friend, for the one you've called me to love. When someone in the church is in need, we're so moved by love. You see, love moves us. And as I was hearing this message a while back, I have to say, I was wrecked. Because I realized that I was trying to love even folks in the church and folks around me, my neighbors, in my own strength. And my love was wearing thin. I needed the Spirit's help to love and pray for you guys. And so what I do, I ask God, come fill me in the Spirit. And I find I'm weeping. I don't weep a lot, but I'm just praying, God, give me. And I'm getting like the membership list of all the different members in the church. Many of you are here. I'm spreading your names out on the floor of my office. And I'm just praying, God, God's just drawing me to different names. God, help them. Give me a love for them. Help them in their situation. And you start looking at the news then in a whole new light, when you don't have the kind of anesthetized heart that the world gives you, a kind of apathy to saying, well, that's happening over there. As long as my bit's okay. that wrecks prayer life. It's all just about me and that. But when we're given the love, that is where it's at. 1 Corinthians 13 is right in the midst of this whole stuff on spiritual gifts. And it's all about love. If we speak with the tongues of angels and have not love, we're a clanging gong. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is extraordinary. And that is the love that God's calling us to have. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It means to pray with love, not apathy. It means to be moved in prayer. It means whether in all occasions and all requests you're thinking, I want to pray for that person. You see that person walking down the street and you're thinking, wow, God loves that person. You've got his eyes for them and you want to pray for them. You see an opportunity to pray corporately like Thursday night when we meet as our church to pray and you think, wow, what a chance to pray with others for situations. And maybe you can't make Thursday night, but you think, you know what, I'm going to keep praying for my work situation tomorrow or for my colleagues or for Easter because, you know, or for Syria and the mess that's going on there because you moved with compassion, with the love of God. Folks, we need the Spirit. I need the Spirit. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit in the senses. Be filled and go on being filled because we need to realize more of the love of God. We need to not just stay where it's safe on the rock, but to step forward and say, God, your love is sufficient. I'm going to find all my security in your love, not in my plans, my schedules, my money, my position, in your love. And with that, a great freedom. Receiving supernatural gifts. To be able to minister in all occasions with the love that God gives us for people. And to pray with that love. To be moved. To ask him to do extraordinary things in people's lives. And he does. He loves to hear our prayers and requests. So how are we doing? Are you praying in the Spirit? Well, we're going to, today, as leaders, be taking time to just reflect and ask those kind of questions. And we just felt the whole church, it would be great to do this a bit together. And so we're going to just take time at the end of the service. We've got about 5 or 10 minutes now, and we're just going to pause and be still. And we're going to do some soul searching. We're going to ask God some stuff about our prayer life, about our praying in the Spirit. And here are the questions I would love you in this moment just to take time to think about. This is what we do on learning communities. We maybe hear a talk, but we take time to reflect. And here's the first question. In which situations do you find it easiest to pray? What do you have that freedom in? And when is it harder? Where do you not feel able to pray? And why is that? And could God even help you grow so that you have that greater freedom in other situations? So in which situations do you find it easiest to pray and when is it harder and why? And then how much time do you spend listening to God? God loves you that much and he wants to speak to you. Do you listen to him? And if you've been listening and maybe even listening in this moment, what is he saying to you? What things, what scriptures, what words, what people is he bringing to mind? And then which spiritual gifts do you have? And do you use them? Or do you only use them in some situations and things? Actually, do you use them like God wants you to use them? And then even what spiritual gifts would you like to have? God loves to give you. And have you asked him for gifts? So I'm going to pray. We're going to be still. The band's going to come up sometime during this time. They'll just start playing. They'll just let them do their thing. You just keep focusing. And then in about 5-10 minutes or so, Tim's going to come up and just close this bit of reflection time in prayer for us. And we'll worship together. And then those who are staying on for lunch will stay on for lunch. But there's going to be teas and coffees after that. But I'm just going to pray right now. And I'm going to pray that in this time of reflection, each one of us would be able to discern things about how we're doing in prayer and prayer in the Spirit. So that we would grow. So Father, please. Please in this time. Would you be speaking to us? Come Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us. We need you, God. Come help us know that you're near. That you love us. that we would be able to be honest with ourselves and with you about how we're doing in prayer and praying in the Spirit. So that, Lord, each of us would grow. So open our eyes. Open our hearts to your love. And give us your love for others, I pray. And we know that to do this, we need your Spirit. So fill us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.